Griezmann, el niño Torres. Hay campo para Griezmann, hay campo para Griezmann y veo gol. Y pinta bien, y pinta bien, y pinta bien, gol. ¡Gol!
Greetings, one and all. Welcome to Colchonero Chat, the official podcast of IntoTheColorOne.com, a proud member of the SB Nation family of blogs. I'm Jeremy Barron. Follow me on Twitter at JB Barron. I'm joined, as ever, by Robbie Dunn.
Hello there, Jeremy. Hello, listeners.
Robbie, great to hear from you.
Yep. As always, same.
You can follow him at Bob Donadini. And today we are going to launch into our season preview. This is where the rubber hits the road. This is where it all starts.
Yep.
It starts Sunday. Well, the La Liga season starts Friday, but Atleti start on Sunday against Deportivo Alaves. We're closer than ever. The excitement is there, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we've got some. It's kind of nice. We've got all the previews of the teams rolling in from our writers. Jake, Victor, Martin, yourself, and myself. So it's exciting even to reading about the other teams, just figuring out what kind of business they've done. Do you know what? It's wonderful to hear about all the optimism in the air. I'd give it a week or so, and it'll all be gone. This is the purest moment of the season when every single person thinks they're going to get Champions League football. And then all of a sudden they realize that that's not the case. And
then in 2 weeks you come crashing back down to earth. Someone will give up three goals and you'll be like, no.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I hit the restart button?
Yeah. And hey, listen, we shouldn't be tempt fate because it could be us. Although I don't think it will, but let's just wait and see.
Yeah, let's jump right into that. Speaking of. This is the season preview. What we're going to do is we're going to name our best 11, the 11 that we think Cholo Simeone will roll with. We'll name the bench players, and we'll really break it down position by position. We'll start with the goalkeepers and go right on down the line.
Yep.
And we'll also discuss, of course, the news that has broken the last couple of days about Oliver Torres. It looks like he is on his way back to Porto. There's been a lot of mixed emotions on Oliver's move, and we'll touch on that as we get into the midfield of our preview. But let's start with the goalkeepers.
Yeah, some turmoil, I suppose, there for Atletico in the last couple of weeks.
There is. Jan Oblak is the entrenched starter, but Miguel Angel Moya is going to have knee surgery. Apparently there is an issue with his right knee that is locking. So yeah. He's going to undergo an arthroscopic procedure to relieve that, and he's going to be out till October.
Yeah, so they brought Moreira back from his loan spell, and we bought Axel Werner, and he's obviously gone out on loan for the year, and it's I won't say boring to discuss Atletico's defense and goalkeeper, but like Oblak is only going to step out when in maybe a Copa del Rey early on in the season. But realistically, Moreira as backup is only going to play maybe. He probably won't even play until Miguel Angel Moya comes back, and then he's only going to play sporadically. So what you're looking at is maybe 8 games in the season, throughout the season, and if that, and yeah, so I mean, look, at Oblak is the bona fide starter. He's top 3 to 5, depending on who you're talking, the goalkeeper in the world, and he's only going to get better. He's 23 at the moment, doesn't turn 24 till January, and that guy is just sensational. So
we're pretty solid. Get better saving penalties.
Well, yeah, that's, or alternatively, Atletico don't get into penalty shootouts, which would be
also
better.
A good point.
Yeah.
Also either, a very fair point.
and that doesn't necessarily mean to say win or lose in normal time. Just don't put us through a penalty shootout again.
Yeah.
We'll
just
take a loss in normal time over a loss in penalty shootout. So yeah, Oblak does actually have to improve in that respect, but he's
young, he'll get there.
And he's got lots of time, and he should do. But it will be interesting to watch.
Yeah, for those who don't know much about Moreira, he's 20 years old. He stands 6'5". He's been on loan in Portugal the past couple seasons. Atletico signed him when he was 18. You're right, he's probably not going to play very much. The Copa games don't even really start till November, December.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure Moreira will even play at all.
Yeah.
So Oblak will likely get every start until Moya comes back, and even then Moya won't play very much.
Listen to us here, tempting fate again. I mean, an injury to Oblak could result in him playing quite a few games, but Oblak hasn't been injured yet, so...
Yeah, fingers crossed that doesn't happen. He hasn't been hurt since summer he came over, when I believe he had a hip injury.
It took him a while, actually, to get...
He came over, and that's how Moya became the starter for the vast majority of 2014-15.
Right.
Because Oblak was hurt.
Yeah. He had an excellent year last year, though, and he just keeps getting better and better. He's like a hybrid between De Gea and Neuer, almost like a mixture of the two, I'd say.
He's incredibly athletic, and he's very good at catching the ball. He's very confident when he goes up, and he makes some really stupendous saves because of his length and just his athleticism.
Yeah.
He does need to get better in shootouts. The weird thing is he saves penalties fine in normal time.
Yeah.
Like when you saved the Müller penalty in Munich.
Yeah.
That was a huge moment for Atletico. But he does need to get better in the shootout.
He tends to, and this is something that Jose Jimenez needs to work on too. I think it was in the Bayern game, the first leg, he found himself scrambling a lot around the place. And he did actually kind of... He didn't start off as well as you might have hoped. He wasn't, and obviously he's only 23. It'll take a while for him to gain the kind of presence and confidence of like a Gianluigi Buffon or someone like that. But he found himself scrambling. He was kind of getting caught in two minds and might have gotten himself into a little bit of trouble if Bayern had tested him more and that might be something to look out for in the future. He does need to kind of compose himself a little more in the bigger games.
And that's something that's going to come with age and development. Yeah. He's only 23.
Right.
Moving on to the defense, which still looks to be one of the best in Europe, the best in La Liga, and one of the best on the continent. Juan Fran entrenched at right back. Shime Versalco will be his deputy. Juan Fran is, for me, as good as it gets at right back. He's one of the world's best, and he took kind of an interesting path to get there, but since Simeone's arrival, he has become one of the world's top right backs. He's great. He does everything Atletico need him to do, as reliable going forward as he is tracking back, and it's important that Versalco is there to spell him a little bit, because Juan Fran played 4,000 minutes last season.
Yeah.
That can't really happen again. So Versalco starts a few games here and there, and if he adjusts quickly, then he'll be a very capable deputy indeed.
Yeah,
one of the best, most highly rated right backs in Serie A last season.
Yeah, and it was interesting on the Sky Sports La Liga preview. They were discussing based on Alberto Moreno's display against Arsenal and Liverpool, they were talking about fullbacks and what their job is and things like that, and they were talking about wingers who have converted to fullbacks, which is something that Juan Fran did.
He
senses danger really well. He's got that instinct where he knows when and when to attack, when to hold back, and one of the main things about being a fullback is sensing danger, and something that Moreno doesn't do particularly well. Maybe someone like Marcelo doesn't do particularly well, like Real Madrid and Barcelona have issues now with their fullback position based on Dani Alves leaving, in terms of depth for Real Madrid at left back, they're not great, different things like that. But Atletico, they've got Juan Fran, who, as you said, is the prototypical right back in Simeone's system, and he'd fit into most teams as the right back. And then you've got Versalco stepping in, and then another energetic right back who plays his trade as a defender. He senses danger, but also has enough energy to get forward and things. So, I mean, pretty solid in that position. I would never worry about that position for Atletico.
Never. And Juan Fran is set to make his 200th league appearance for Atletico this season. It should happen early 2017. He turns 32 in January. So we still have a couple more years of him being one of the best around at right back. Center back is where it kind of gets interesting. Obviously, you have Godin, who is the best center back on the planet. But who is going to partner him? Will it be Stefan Savic, who Simeone trusted a lot towards the end of the season? Or will it be Jose Jimenez, who started the season well, had some ups and downs. Eventually, Savage was preferred to him, and there was even talk that Jose Ma would look to leave Atletico. Who, in your mind, who's going to start next to Godin?
It appears as though it's going to be Savage, isn't it? Yeah, you're right about Jimenez. It's kind of a strange one. He's obviously got talent coming out of his ears, and he's excellent, but... Yeah, like I said, he kind of tends to... He is prone to a rash challenge or two. And last year, remember we drew with Deportivo, and it kind of actually derailed our title bid at the end because we were just a point or two behind Barca, and it was just that draw. When we were winning 1-0, I think we ended up drawing it 1-1. And
it was 1-1 Lucas Perez scored after Jose Ma tried a bad clearance and went right into Lucas's path.
Yeah, and that's something that kind of at this level and with Atletico looking, and as it doesn't need to be said, but you can't slip up against Real and Barcelona, the kind of teams to put up.
Or Bayern Munich, which he did.
Yeah, yeah.
His second leg there.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, and that's exactly. And so I'd say he'll give the nod to Savage, who seems he doesn't have as much talent as Jimenez. He doesn't have a higher ceiling, but he's just a little bit more solid just to start the season, see how it progresses from there. But yeah, it's an interesting one about Jimenez going to Real Madrid and things like that. It was a kind of a strange one.
Very. Atletico would never sell to Real.
But he never came out
demanding the buyout would be the least of what Atletico would do.
Yeah. Yeah, and for the most part, there's like a gentleman's agreement between, like, I think Griezmann has a no Real Madrid clause or something like that. It's like, just, you can go anywhere, provided they sell, but just not Real Madrid. And I think Real Madrid understand that too. They don't typically come knocking for the best talent. But Jimenez never really came out and denied it too much or anything, and he's only 21, so you wouldn't expect him to come out and act like a seasoned professional or like a veteran would and calm things down and handle the media properly. He just stayed out of the media, which was might have been the right option, but he never really came out and just said, nope, I'm staying here, that's it, 100%, I'm here, and that's like... Give the fans that assurance, and I'm not sure what's going to happen. I'm sure he'll probably see his time a little bit more limited this year, but he'll split time with Savage and Jimenez, and then Lucas Hernandez also will play a part. I mean, Simeone has proven that he trusts him as well, and he's been excellent whenever he did step in. Real, only 20, but very calm, collected, which is something that Simeone requires, which most coaches require from their defenders, but it's something that Simeone likes when he issues instructions and his defenders and players can follow those to a T, and it seems as though Hernandez can and is willing to, so I'm sure we'll see him, a lot of him, which is exciting too. We'll also see his brother in the first game against Alaves.
Yeah, because he's on loan at Deportivo Alaves. Lucas just got his renewal. Diario Az says it's worth 40 million. His buyout clause is 40 million euros.
Sounds pretty good
price. Renewal to 2020. And Lucas is going to be an important member of the squad this year. He's going to be the primary backup, whether Savage is starting or Jimenez is starting, or, you know, if Godin needs a rest, Savage and Jimenez will start and Lucas will be...
Or Felipe, maybe.
Or Felipe, even, because Lucas can play left back. And I honestly think that's where he's going to get most of his time this season, is at left back.
Yeah.
Backing up Felipe, who, still expecting a good season out of Felipe. He ended up he started out kind of rough last season because we had to get the Chelsea out of him. But once Atletico did that, it looked like mostly the Felipe of old.
Yeah.
One of the best right backs in La Liga, best left backs in La Liga, excuse me. Yeah. And he's very good. We're still going to expect a couple more good years out of him.
And linking up with Nico Gaitán down the left is going to be really exciting this year, too.
And that's where this gets kind of interesting, because I want to talk about how Atletico are going to set up. There has been a lot of talk in the Madrid press that they're going to switch to 4-3-3, that Simeone has been hammering it down in training, that it's going to be we're going to go to 4-3-3 this year.
Yeah.
And this is where you're going to see some changes in midfield. It's not going to be the flat four-man midfield, two banks of four, obviously. Yeah. And this is where we kind of see, okay, is Gaetano going to join the forward line, the front three with Griezmann and Gamero? Or is he not? Are we just going to start three central midfielders? Will Gaetano be – where is Gaetano going to be? I think a 4-3-3 is more advantageous for players like Gabby, who – honestly, I know this is going to sound bad, but as terrific as Gabby is – Atletico's best 11 probably does not have him in it.
No, I know.
In a 4-3-3, he fits. You put Koke and Saul next to him in midfield. That's a pretty good midfield trio. And then you have Griezmann, Gamero, and Gaitán or Carrasco or whoever.
Yeah.
But Atletico have the personnel to do a 4-3-3. And I think they're going to play it a lot more this year. And long term, I think that is where Simeone and or whoever replaces Simeone, if he leaves, that's where Atletico are going to go long term.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because in that three midfielder with Gabby, Saul, and Koke, there's no real kind of number six there, tempo setting, like Thiago, like figure who, which is Simeone has shown that he likes, maybe in Augusto or someone like that. So it is interesting to know where do they find that kind of defensive balance with, we know Saul can do it all, but he is prone to kind of lung-busting runs up the field. And like, as good as Atletico are going to be and as solid as their defence are, I'm not entirely sure that Simeone is willing to just forget about the defensive side of things. So it'll be interesting to see maybe... And Koke doesn't have that kind of a side to his game where he's willing to sit and pass the ball like Thiago, and or like an Augusto. So it is interesting. Neither does Gabby. Gabby wouldn't really be like that either. He probably could, but he's more kind of a breaker upper, and he doesn't set the tempo from that sixth position. So it's interesting. It's going to be really interesting, because as you said, maybe Thiago. Maybe Thiago will play as the centre, as that number six, with Saul and Koke ahead of him. Thomas, Gabby as the two backups. But Gabby was excellent last year, so I mean, I don't think it'd even be fair to drop him. So I'm not entirely sure what's going to happen. But
the weird thing about Gabby is his form has fluctuated the last couple seasons. In 2012-13, year Atletico won the Copa at the Bernabeu, he wasn't great that season.
Yeah.
2013-14, he was excellent, as Atleti won the league and should have won the Champions League. 2014-15 wasn't great again. Atleti didn't have a great season. And last season, he was terrific.
Yeah.
So don't really know which Gabby Atleti are going to get this season. If they get the okay, not great Gabby, then he might be dropped as Atletico continue this evolution. But if Gabby is good again, then it gives Simeone some selection headaches, which is a good thing.
Well, I suppose at the age of 33, you do become kind of a situational player almost, and you might have to be content with that. And he was excellent last year. But when you're playing against more, maybe, and Atletico have found that during Simeone's evolution that they have to attack more, as opposed to maybe in 2013-14, they sat and countered, and nobody really, there was more teams coming at them, and then they realised, okay, when they thought they could beat Atletico, whereas then the year after was like, okay, a point here will do us with the poorer teams. So Atletico had to come out of their shell because a point wasn't going to do them, and the other teams weren't attacking, so they had to be proactive because they were the favourite. And then Simeone wasn't fully willing to do that, so then I think this year he's going to do that, and with that you need Gabby is going to be forced into more open space. There's going to be more open space where he is, and against, as a situational player, there's some games where he's just not going to, they're not going to suit him, and he's going to have to sit on the bench. And against maybe more dynamic players who counter quicker and things like that, and maybe someone like a Saul or a Thomas or someone like that is going to have to play instead of him, that can cover more ground laterally, kind of bigger, can reach in and better stuff like that, and not break up play because he does that well, but close in on opposing attackers quicker than Gabby can at 33. So I suppose it will become situational for him at some point in his career, and maybe it's time, maybe this year, that we see it. But he has proved us wrong in the past. In terms of last year, he was excellent. There was cries for him to go to the World Cup that were ignored based on his age, but we're just going to have to wait and see. But that tree for me that you mentioned probably doesn't have enough tempo, like passing ability. Do you get me?
I do, but I think Koke, I would disagree slightly. Koke is an excellent passer. And it would kind of have to be the link. If he plays in the middle, then he's much better than when he shunted out to the wing, which is what he was for almost all of 2014-15. And for a good part of last season, when Simeone moved him back to the middle in the second half of last season, Atletico started to play a lot better. They started to score a lot more goals and just generally have a prettier attack. So Koke has got to play in the middle, and that's why the acquisition of Nico Gaitán is going to be so important. Because it allows Koke to play in his more comfortable, natural position. Gaitán's going to get the number 10 shirt when Oliver leaves, which looks like it's imminent. He's going back to Porto. People don't like that. And Gaitán's going to get the number 10 shirt. He's going to be the side's prime creator from a wide position. And that's going to definitely help Koke, because Koke does have some qualities of a number 10. He's a great passer, great at taking set pieces. But he also tries to meld that with defensive responsibilities, holding responsibilities, and sometimes the playmaking side of him is kind of pushed to the back of his mind.
Yeah, but that needs so, to. Yeah, it's just I'm thinking in terms of a number six. So you've got Koke, who's a little bit too creative, and his concentration is good. But you need a player like a Carrick there who never tries the impossible pass. And Koke might be that little bit too ambitious when he's on the ball, which is good in a more forward position. But at that number six, you can't. You have to have, like Alex Ferguson used to do concentration tests with his players. So, you know, like Carrick aced it. He was like, and that kind of concentration, you don't get that in more creative players, because they want to, every now and again, they'll go for the killer ball and things, whereas you need someone like Thiago, who just every time takes it off the back four, makes himself available, and then passes it, assesses it, and goes whatever way. But Koke, it was interesting the way Koke, we might see him playing, shuttling, not from left to centre, but from centre to that middle 10 role. So they go from a 4-3-3 to a 4-2-3-1 with Koke as the middleman. Do you get me? So they might play Saul and Thiago as the two, and then they play Koke in the middle, and he shuttles between 10 and the centre midfield, and then you've got Griezmann, Gaitán on the right and left, and Gamero up front, which would be interesting too. So, I mean, do you know what? It's excellent that they have options like this, and it could turn out we could be all wrong and they could play something else, but they're going to have to be more proactive this season, and they do have a more attacking. And Gaitán has looked excellent, by the way, in preseason. Like just
he looks like he gets it.
Yeah, yeah, very well said. He does, and he seems you know
he gets it,
and you can feel it too. He gets it. You can just I don't know. I just have a really good feeling about it, And Victor actually wrote the tactical piece on Crotone, and he was saying that Gaitán, at one point, Simeone brought on some substitutes and stuff, and Gaitán went as the number 10, that central role, and was kind of creating things and that. But yeah, it's interesting because Gaitán does have a lot of different, a different skill set, you know, varying different things he does, and he does them all very well. So it's interesting to see where we're going to go from here.
Definitely. And how much do you think Thiago is going to play this season? I don't think he's going to play a whole lot. He might start a few games here and there, but Atleti have kind of... He does have... He brings the important kind of metronome-type quality. Steady as a rock, shields the back four, and just plays out long passes like it's nothing, and with stunning accuracy. But I think Atletico last season, they moved on from that style. They showed how successful they could be even without Thiago in the starting 11.
Yeah, and that's something that Augusto actually is able to play as a more attacking style. I wouldn't say attacking, but he's capable of going more forward than maybe Thiago is.
And he busts up plays more than Thiago does.
Yeah, yeah.
More of a destroyer.
Yeah, yeah. But with Celta, he did actually get involved in goals like a lot more maybe than Thiago would have. But before Thiago got injured last year, he was probably one of our better players. But again, it's evolving all the time, so we don't know what Simeone's gonna do. I suppose it might sound like a criticism of Simeone, and maybe it is, but how much is he going to trust a midfield without that shield for the back four and that metronome style quality?
You have to open up a little bit.
Yeah,
I think that's what this is going towards. And that's the question. They're going to open up more.
Yeah, and that's just the question. Is Simeone willing to... in bigger games, and or is he going to kind of revert back to the more stable, steady defensive style that he has shown since he became Atletico manager, you know?
In bigger games, you're going to see, you know, against the bigger teams in the Champions League, should Atletico make it that far, you're going to see Cholismo. You're going to see the style against Bayern Munich, just sit back, absorb everything, and then put on the quickest counterattack in Europe.
Yeah, and that's...
But more and more against smaller teams, medium-sized teams, more so in La Liga, they're going to open up.
Mm. But that's the exciting thing about Gamero as well, is that he's so quick. And in the Sevilla preview that we did with one of the guys, actually Aaron, who helped us out with it, he was saying that under Unai Emery with Gamero, they had quite a physical team, but then at the same time against the better teams, they had that speed with Gamero up front. So I mean, it gives Atletico that option too, because he can mix it up, but he's also lightning quick on the counter and has quite good control, good feet. So that's huge for Atletico. They're not going to have to change personnel in order to have different styles. Like, okay, we're going Torres for this game, it's going to be a certain way. You could play Gamero and you could go counter-attacking, or they could actually be more kind of progressive side. And Gamero offers you that because he's that good. Like, he's excellent at a lot of different things too.
And that's the very exciting part about this, is that Atleti are going to be much more flexible in theory. Much more flexible and much more versatile, as you said. Just wrapping up the midfield pretty quickly here, Diogo Jota is probably going to go on loan. There have been conversations with Sporting Braga about Jota. Looks like he's going to go back to Portugal for a year. Mm-hmm. And finally, Yannick Carrasco and Thomas Partey. Yannick Carrasco, I think, is in line for a big season. Yannick definitely showed more than just flashes last season. He was one of Atleti's most important players. And who knows if he's going to consistently start. And he can play. What the advantage that he has is that he has experience in both the 4-4-2 and the 4-3-3. He can play on either wing in a 4-4-2, although he prefers the left wing, which is where Gaetan's going to play. But he can also play as a wide forward. And that is the advantage that he's going to have when it comes to selecting teams against the bigger sides.
Yeah.
Is that he's very versatile and very quick and very direct.
Yeah, but as you said, he was excellent last year, and he has earned himself some playing time, and he earns himself that kind of respect when it comes to picking a team, that he's not just automatically a bench player. I mean, he could very well start the season. We're not sure. Well, probably not, but he'll have to be in contention after his Champions League cameo, and yeah, he was excellent. And under Simeone, it's not the easiest thing to adapt to his style, as we've seen. Griezmann didn't do particularly well. Oliver Torres couldn't. There's quite a few, like Jackson Martinez just couldn't. And Carrasco just got it immediately as well. And he's another guy that just seems to get it. He fits in well. He does what's needed. He offers pace. He offers control when Atletico are kind of struggling to hold on to the ball. He has come on in so many countless times. He has come on and held up the ball, ran at defenses, won corners, won frees, won throw-ins, just slowed it down for Atletico, and that's huge. Like, do you know what I mean? And yeah, he definitely merits a mentioning in when it comes to game time this season.
Thomas was a bit of a surprise player last season. Especially, he didn't play till November, first of all. Mm. And in the winter months, he scored some big goals. And he even got time in the Champions League final. So Simeone likes him. He trusts him.
Yeah.
And he's only 23. He just turned 23 in June. What is his primary role going to be? I think it's going to be on the right flank. That's where he played most of last season. He can also play through the middle. But he's mostly an energy guy who can score big goals, can break up plays now and then. Another versatile young academy player.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what you're getting from him. And he is another player who is prone to kind of bursts of excellence and then bursts of slumps, I suppose, peaks and valleys. And yeah, during those 2 months, I was actually at that Levante game. He scored the winner. And he came on and completely changed the game. But then, as soon as he gets a run of games, he tends to have a less of an influence, I suppose, when he has a point to prove, maybe, or something that he does well. But again, he's only 23, and he's coming into a side of filled with excellent midfielders, and he's probably he's struggling to find his place within that, and I'm sure we're going to see it. He's aware that he's being used as a versatile man, whereas he wants to be one of the main men, and it's just not happening yet. And I think it will in time, because I think he's excellent. But you're right, he's going to be playing on that right, and he'll just be like a commander there. That's what he is like. They're keeping him around due to the fact that he can play in so many different positions. Not different positions, but he has such a wide array of skills, and he can plenty, similar to Saul, plenty of energy. He can defend. He's willing to attack, and that'll be huge for Atletico as the season progresses.
Yeah, just that burst of energy to replace some tired legs. And the word coming out from his home country, Ghana, is that he's going to be one of Ghana's best players in a few years.
Yeah, no, so, he's excellent.
Atleti should want to be around for this ride, so keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Couple words on potential loanies before we move on to the forward group, which we'll spend a few minutes on, yeah, as there have been changes there. Bernard Mensah is going to go on loan. Mm. He doesn't have a place in this team. Atleti have about 2 weeks to organize that. They should get on it. Alessio Cerchi still is an Atletico player, which I think it would be hilarious if he stayed. if they could not loan, make a loan move for him, that would just be so funny if he stayed.
Yeah, he's
but really as of now, he's still an Atletico player, and he's not happy about it, and that's too bad. You should play better so you can go to a team that actually wants you.
Yeah, he's been really disappointed, and he's 29 now, so
he doesn't have much time left.
No, it's not going to get a whole lot better for him, but
yeah, it speaks to how far he's fallen off that Atleti cannot find a taker for him. I'm sure they're trying.
Yeah,
very hard to find someone to take him and his wages, but there are no takers because he's fallen off.
Yeah, but it's a buyer's market at the moment with him. I mean, they know that Atletico, he's no place at Atletico, so Atletico are probably going to have to take the hit on it and pay a good chunk of his wages if it's a loan, or maybe even, I suppose, maybe not terminate his contract, because I don't know the finances involved in that, but yeah, I highly doubt that he's going to be an Atletico Madrid player by the end of August.
I hope you're wrong. also, Emiliano Velasquez played at Getafe last season. Young Uruguayan center back. Looks like he's going to go out on loan again, as will Javier Manquillo. Young Spanish right back was at Liverpool and Marseille last couple years. Marseille do want him back, last I heard.
Yeah.
And after the Verschalco purchase, it doesn't really look like Manquillo has a place in the squad. But we'll see.
He has been relatively good this preseason. Yeah, and he was good for Marseille last year. He was excellent.
He was. So, I was talking to a Marseille fan friend of mine. Said he played pretty well.
Yeah, and they're huge fans of him. So, I don't know what's going to happen with this transfer ban, but I mean, maybe he'll back up Verschalco after Juan Fran leaves. I'm not sure. He's 22. I'm not sure what's going to happen there. And it's the same with Emiliano Velasquez. He was linked with someone. Someone was looking for him. I can't actually think of who
it was. I think it was another Spanish team.
Yeah.
I think it was. It might have been Leganes.
I actually think that's right, yeah.
It might have been Leganes looking at him.
Yeah. And he could turn out to be an excellent centre-back. Maybe not for Atletico, but certainly La Liga centre back, but it's just he's probably unlucky in the fact that he's with Atletico when they've got
this is the team that bought him, yeah,
and they've got the best centre back in the world at the moment. Then they've got probably one Lucas Hernandez is one of the top centre backs coming through in the world, under 21 centre backs, and then Jimenez as well, and then Savic, who's a quite really solid professional. So he's just really unlucky with the timing, and there's barring an injury crisis, and he's not gonna make an impact with Atletico for the next year or two anyway.
Yeah, I'm not sure Velasquez will ever play for Atletico.
No,
and Oliver Torres' move isn't a loan. It looks like it's a sale that Porto are going to get 50% of his rights for $15
million.
This is going to be unpopular, but I don't think it's a bad move that they're selling him. Atletico cannot wait for Oliver to just get it, to just click. Yeah. Last year was his chance. He just didn't get it. And it's unfortunate. You always want to see a Canterano succeed, but I was unhappier with selling Borja Bastón than I am with selling Oliver Torres. Atleti have a lot of midfielders.
Yeah,
and a lot of good midfielders.
I'll have to listen back, and I can't even remember when it was, but I remember Graham Hunter talking on News Talk here, which is a national radio station in Ireland, and he was kind of saying, no, he didn't say that Torres had an attitude problem, but there was a sense that he didn't get it in terms of he was. And I don't want to misquote Graham Hunter or say, but he said that basically there was an element of Torres that was a little bit, he needed to kind of knuckle down a little bit more, I guess, is what he was saying. And
I'd buy that.
Yeah, and I must listen back to it, but yeah, he basically said that, and it's not something that I would have got from Torres. I don't get that impression from him, and he doesn't say anything or doesn't cause trouble, and never no dissent on the field, or he never sulks or anything like that. But yeah, apparently he needs to kind of maybe knuckle down a little bit more, and like a young phenom like Torres, really good, creative, sometimes they tend to, I won't say get lazy, but they kind of tend to, there's a stage there from maybe 20 to 21 or 2 or 3 where they do need to kind of keep their eye on the ball. And it seems as though Torres just needs a change of environment. He needs a new environment, and he needs a new style to play under. And going back to Porto, where he excelled the year before last,
it's the best place for him.
Yeah, I do.
It's another league that's very technical, that fits for players like him. If he'd gone to the Premier League, he would have been murdered.
Yeah, probably not physical.
He's not big enough, not physical enough. He would fit very well with another Spanish team or in Portugal, which is where it looks very much like he's going to go.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on
to the forwards. On to the forwards. This is a very exciting part. Atleti have once again rebuilt their forward core. Not as much as last summer, but very exciting nonetheless. Antoine Griezmann is back. We have to start with him. Returned to training about 10 days ago. And he will miss the first game of the season against Alaves due to yellow card accumulation. He picked up a yellow against Celta Vigo in last game of last season. What do you expect from Griezmann this year? How many goals? And what's the next step for him? What is the next step in his personal evolution as a player?
Yeah, well, I'm actually in the process of writing when I get the time, once my college dissertation is finished, but about how Griezmann really needs to, I suppose, do something special this year, because based on, like, he's being compared now. And it was really interesting. I was reading a Will Leach, columnist for Sports on Earth, and he was talking about a baseball player and how the difference between potential and reality. The difference with potential is that it's infinite. Like, it's you can think, there's no limitation on potential, and you can get as crazy thinking about it as you want. And that's so exciting for us. But then once reality kicks in, there's a ceiling to reality, and that's maybe sometimes why. And then people compare a player based on his potential to the actual reality of how good he turns out to be, and that's why Griezmann really needs to do something special this year in order to fulfill all the talk about his potential, because he has been seen as maybe an up and coming young player, one of the best, aside from Ronaldo and Messi and maybe Bale, and he's the next tier, whereas Euro has propelled him into the spotlight, and now he's there firmly. So it's not talk about potential anymore. This is reality. This is who you are. This is how you will be judged. So
Griezmann, those are great points.
So Griezmann really needs to maybe 27, 28 goals this year. In La Liga alone?
In the league alone. No, you're going bold, aren't you?
I mean, okay. Like, Ronaldo and Messi, just ridiculous. But, I mean, between 25 and 30 goals is what he needs to do, you know?
And it's not potential anymore. This is it now. The general consensus now is that he is not one of the top 10 players in Europe, one of the top 5.
Yeah.
He's one of the three nominees for the Best Player in Europe Award with Cristiano and Bale.
Yeah.
The time is now. He's there. He's 25. And this is time for another breakthrough. Mm. Last season, he was on the spotlight for his goals in Europe and in Spain. When he first joined Atleti, it was for what he did in La Liga. Last year, it was for what he did in the Champions League and the Euros. The next step has got to be leading Atletico to a trophy. Mm. And I'd say scoring 22 to 25 league goals, plus lifting some silverware.
Yeah. Sorry, what number was that, did you say?
22 to 25 is...
Okay, right, okay.
Is what I'm thinking for
Come
him.
Come on, Jeremy, reach for the stars. 47 goals.
He can't score 30. I'm not saying he can't. He's only 25. He's going to get even better.
Yeah,
and he's working under the manager who he loves and is going to make him better.
Yeah. No, I agree. But I do think that Atletico are going to be that little... I think we're going to see some 3 and 4 nils. Not some, a few 3 and 4 nils this year under Simeone.
Only did that twice last year. We won 4-0 against Astana in the Champions League. The fourth goal was an own goal. and beat Real Betis 5-1 in the league. That was our only five-goal game last
season. Yeah, look at you busting out the stats. I'm proud of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've got a calculator there beside you. And I think we're going to see, similar to Real and Barcelona, some 3 and 4 nils this year.
And 5 nils, 6 nils.
Yeah, yeah. I think I actually genuinely we had a couple
7 nils, I think, in the year 2014, year we won the league.
Yeah.
We had a 5 nil and a 7 nil that year.
Oh, right. Who did we beat 7 nil?
I think it was Getafe.
Okay, right.
Pretty sure.
Yeah, I looked that one up, yeah. But
I could be wrong, but that's what my memory says.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a few of those this year because I think we're going to be ruthless. I think there's going to be we have been ruthless in terms of defending, but I think there's going to be that ruthlessness as we evolve more towards a top bona fide contender. I think Atletico are going to win the league.
Do ya?
Yeah, I think they will. Based on what I said earlier about Barcelona and Real's defenses are a little bit shoddy and at the moment.
Ramos, I will say that I think Atletico have a better chance to win the league this year than the Champions League.
Yeah, I think that's
true. I will
true.
Say that.
Hmm. Yeah,
I think the Champions true. League might just be out of reach for this season, but they're going to be as strong as ever in the league. They could pound some teams in the league with the way they're going to open up, we think. With the way that they could open up and the attacking options they will have, I think that they could mount a very strong league challenge.
And based on their depth that maybe Barcelona and Real don't have, because it's been a really strange transfer window for Real. And I mean, Real understand that they've got this ban coming up, but they don't seem, they haven't really bought anyone. And likewise, Barcelona have a hodgepodge mix of kind of strange, like Alex Vidal is going to play right back and
I think Barcelona, I think, have had a bit of a better summer than some people are saying. They've gotten a lot younger. They're starting to build for the future a bit more than they have. But I think there is a degree of, how are these pieces going to fit? What's their midfield going to look like? Where is Andre Gomez going to play? Where is Rakitic going to play? Where is Arda Turan going to play? If you play Andre Gomez, who you just bought for $50 million.
And they've got, I mean, their center backs are really, really good, but
until Alex Vidal or Sergio Roberto holds it down at right back, until they prove that they can hold it down, then there are going to be questions. Jordi Alba is good, but there are still questions around him. The midfield will be interesting how Luis Enrique sorts that out, and of course you have Messi, Neymar, and Suarez.
Well, yeah, that's
up top. That's not a concern. Not bad. And they're going to sell Claudio Bravo to Man City. That's going to happen.
Yeah, so Ter Stegen's number one, but
Ter Stegen's the number one, and they're going to get Diego Alves to back him up.
Yeah, just in terms of losing Dani Alves. I meant to rectify something. In the first ever podcast episode, I called Dani Alves Diego Alves.
Did you?
Yeah, and I'd just like to apologize to our hundreds of thousands of listeners. Because I was like, that's not right. I was like, who's Diego Alves? But anyway, I just feel like losing Dani Alves and not replacing him properly, and Alex Vidal, who struggled massively last year, not even struggled. He didn't feature.
He was very good at Sevilla. He's quality. He's a class.
He has a strange relationship with Luis Enrique. Actually, not strange, but I thought they fell out, or there was a little bit of animosity there at one stage. But they seem to have gotten it together. But anyway, losing a vital piece, and Dani Alves was vital to everything Barcelona did. And losing him and not replacing him properly isn't ideal. So that's one of my concerns in terms of that. And then, it's going to be interesting to see how they do and how they manage on a week-in, week-out basis in respect to that.
And Barcelona also nearly got the next guy we're going to talk about, Kevin Gamero.
Hmm.
Gamero says he never considered Barcelona. Other reports said that Barcelona chased him most of the summer and nearly had an agreement with Sevilla. Not sure how true that is. But Gamero is an Atletico player. Only played one preseason game against the Nigerian All-Stars. Looked good, had plenty of chances, just couldn't find the net.
Yeah.
But he said he needed time to adjust. What would be a good season for Gamero? How many goals and what he does tactically? What would be a good season for him?
Yeah, well, I mean, if Griezmann does do all the scoring, then 12 goals in La Liga for Gamero would
that's,
be good.
That's about what I was thinking. 12 to 15 is what we can reasonably expect.
But it depends on how balanced it's going to be. Like, if Gaetan gets 20 assists and doesn't score, and I actually wouldn't mind that, because then that means maybe if Gamero gets 15 of those goals, whereas if Gaetan happens to score 10, Gamero 10, and Gamero or and Griezmann 20,
my cup runneth over.
Yeah, you know, so it depends on how spread out it is and what role Gaetan takes up and whether or not he's going to be on the end of some of those chances. But, yeah, essentially you're looking at 12 goals from Gamero and no less than that. He probably needs 12. Because Torres can get you 10. And if he's going to be starting ahead of Torres, he needs to be scoring more than 10. So 12 plus...
I'm not even sure Torres will get 10, but we'll talk about that.
Yeah, but if he was to start, I think he can
offer you
10
sure.
goals. So if you're going to be starting ahead of Torres, you need to be getting more than that. So you're looking at maybe 12 plus, and Gamero, given the fact that he won't be taking penalties, he doesn't take frees, 12 goals is fairly standard for a number 9 in a team that your figure is going to beat a lot of teams this year. Actually, it's actually quite... generous. What word am I looking for? Like, it's quite.
It's likely that they're going to do that.
Yeah. It's quite on the low
I think
side.
This was actually a mailbag question we had about what the reasonable expectations would be for Gaetan and Gamero. I think for Gamero, 12 to 15 goals. For Gaetan, double digit assists, and let's say 7-8 goals. I think that's a starting point for him. That's about...
Yeah, that's...
I wouldn't say the height of what we can expect. That's probably about what we can expect, though.
Yeah, and...
If he gets more than... If he gets double digits in both goals and assists, then we're in good shape.
Yeah, and spread across a lot of games, so more of a consistent effort as opposed to getting 4 against one team and then not doing anything for 3 months. Do you know what I mean? As long as it's consistent and it's a continuous threat... then that's all we can ask from him. And then if you chip in Koke, who'll most likely have double-digit assists too, you're looking at a pretty creative midfield/attack, you know?
Definitely. That's going to be very fun to watch. It should be fun to watch, at least.
Definitely.
Next up, Angel Correa, and another question we had, who is going to be Atletico's breakout star this season? Who's going to have the breakthrough year? I think it's going to be Correa.
Yeah, I'd love to see, I mean, as I say...
This is a guy who's going to score 10 to 12 goals this season. He might not, he's not going to start all the time, but he's still going to get his bag of goals.
Oh, yeah.
That good.
And again, he's not the kind of player who tends to, he's 21... just turned 21, so he isn't the kind of player who sulks. Or he understands his role, he understands his time will come, and he's an excellent player coming off the bench. I'm not entirely sure if he'll get the amount of game time to be considered a breakout star, but he's got all the attributes, and if he does get the game time, then definitely he will excel. He saved our bacon a couple of times last year against Rayo, and he's an absolutely, as I like to say, a fabulous footballer. And he's got all the skills and attributes to be a breakout star. Just whether or not he gets the game time is another thing.
You're looking at a guy who, if he plays regularly in the Champions League, which he didn't last year, you're looking at someone who can score maybe 15 in all competitions.
Mm. Oh, he's really good.
That'd be gigantic.
Yeah, so also, like his and see a lot of the time when he comes on as a sub, he's ambitious, like, so he wants to influence things and he wants to get on the ball and he wants to do things and he tends to kind of overexert himself, maybe over elaborate at times when if he was given more time on the field, he let himself settle into more of a rhythm and plays more natural game, whereas when he comes on for 20-25 minutes, he tends to overexert himself. And but he's got a dip of the hips that is just sensational. He can sell. Oh, he sells dummies there for the new times. And he's just lovely footballer to watch. He tends to be able to play well in tight spaces. And if Atletico are struggling to break teams down next year, he might be key in a lot of games.
Who would your breakout star be? Just quickly.
Breakout star, I suppose, it depends on what you're looking at in terms of breakout, like...
Yeah, it's different for defenders or midfielders and forwards. The qualifications are kind of different. Who has the best season? Who makes themselves an integral part of the team who you wouldn't otherwise say he's an essential player?
I think Jan Oblak is gonna step it up another gear.
But that'd be great to see.
Yeah, I think he's gonna be the top one or two goalkeepers in the world in the next year or two. But who's maybe someone who's I suppose you're right. Correa does have he's probably the guy who you would chalk down as someone who's going to do that. Thomas is a little bit too on the flaky side at the moment. I mightn't get
not
the game
sure he'll time. Get not sure he'll get enough time. Thomas.
No, I'd say Gaitán is going to just really. I mean, he was linked away from Benfica so often in the last couple of years that people were kind of like almost fed up listening about him and kind of similar to Jackson Martinez. They almost were like, okay, yeah, we're sick of it, just sell him or whatever, and and Jackson obviously didn't work out, but I think Nico Gaitán is really gonna put himself into the hat as one of the top wingers in world football now. He's in his prime at the moment. He's
28 years old.
He seems to get it as well, as you said. I think that was a perfect explanation. And I just have a really, really, really good feeling about him for some reason.
Finally, El Nino.
Yeah.
It's going to be another strange season for El Nino. Last year, Torres was not supposed to be anywhere near the 11. He ends up becoming the first choice forward again for the first time since 2007. He's the first choice forward. Yeah. And to his credit, once he finally scored his century of goals, he played very, very well. He was at Atleti's best player in April, scored huge goals. A huge goal against Barcelona was the away goal that helped them win that tie. Scored 11 goals in the league, which... no one expected.
No.
First time he'd scored double-digit goals since he was at Liverpool. And what do you think is going to happen with Torres? Because I think that he's still going to have a role because Griezmann and Gamero are not very big players. They're stronger than one may think, but they're in terms of winning aerial battles or running the channels, I think Torres is a better option there.
Yeah.
I still think he'll have a role to play. I'm not sure how many goals he'll score. I mean, we can set the benchmark at 5 league goals, 6 league goals.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of it is going to depend on how well Gamero settles into his place within the club. Torres will probably maybe... I haven't heard an update on Gamero's injury, but I presume Torres is going to probably start the game against Alaves. And if he plays well enough... he might get a run of 4, 5, 6 games as a starter, and then it all depends on how Gamero settles in. Griezmann is one of the best players in recent memory for Atletico, and he didn't settle in well at the club at all, so and it took him over half a season to do that. Now, I understand that Gamero he's not building towards something. He's 29, so he kind of has to settle in pretty quickly, much like Jackson Martinez. But it depends on how he settles in, and if he doesn't do it particularly well, I think Simeone will turn to Torres because he's proven that he can do it, and he did it last year for him. So there is that trust and respect, which had been there before, but there was a kind of doubts lingering over whether he was finished or not. But he proved last year that's not the case completely, and I think Simeone will have absolutely no problem starting Torres because he's not a bad backup. So it's dependent on whether Gamero settles in well enough, and yeah, that's basically how I see it going.
And you could run a three striker formation where Griezmann, Gamero, and Torres can all start.
Yeah, yeah.
Where Torres can just play in the middle, and Griezmann and Gamero can flank him.
Yeah, Gamero just off. Yeah, Torres
just off the center forward. So Torres definitely still has a role to play. He's not going to be pushed to the side. Definitely not. He's, you know, still one of the club's best ambassadors, but he will still have a role to play, and he'll graciously take whatever is offered to him because this is the club of his life. And, you know, last season, no one expected him to score 11 league goals. And he scored many big goals in the league. The goal against Barcelona, again, was a huge goal. So he'll still be around.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I mean, either way, it's a win-win to an extent. It's a win-win situation for him. I remember John Kitna, the Cincinnati Bengals quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
He was dropped, he was benched, and he said, "I hope I never play again, because if I don't play again, it means that the team is winning and the quarterback's doing well." You know what I mean? So, likewise, if Torres isn't playing, it means Atletico are winning, and that's a win for him. Likewise, if they're not doing particularly well and he's called upon, he's getting to play, so he's probably happy enough with that too. So I think it's a win.
Either way, he'll be happy.
Yeah, and he's 32 now. He's got an extension on his deal, and I'd say one more year with Atletico, and he'll head off into the sunset, maybe China, America, somewhere like that, and make a few dollars for himself before he hangs up his boots, and I don't think I could begrudge him.
Absolutely not. Last player I want to talk about, and then we'll launch into, you know, how well the team's going to do in terms of the La Liga table and potential silverware. Rafael Santos Borre on his way to Villarreal. It's actually confirmed he's now a Villarreal player. 1 year loan. Yeah. I talked about this with Villarreal USA. I'm very excited for him to join Villarreal.
Yeah,
Very unexpected move, and I think he'll do well. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, I to be honest with you, I haven't actually seen all that much of him in preseason, but he seemed, anything that I did see of him, he looked really energetic, and he was running around. I kind of like the look of him. I like the cut of his energy and things like that. So, yeah, like Villarreal are kind of had a strange preseason, sacking Marcelino, and I just wonder where he's going to fit in there with Bukambu. I always mix it up.
Bukambu. Yeah, it's Bakambu.
Yeah, yeah. It's back or book? Bukambu or back?
I think it's back.
Bakumbu.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, yeah, and then obviously Soldado did his
ACL. Soldado did his knee, which is just horrible news.
Yeah, yeah, dreadful news. Just on his way back to then they've got Pato, which is a weird one. Who, no one knows what he's going to do. No one knows what Santos Borre is going to do. And I just think that it's really, really interesting to see even like what's going to happen there. So yeah,
I have no idea what Fran Escriba is going to do there. He could start Bakambu and Pato and shunt Santos Borre to a wing. He could play a 4-2-3-1 with Bakambu as the lone striker and Santos Borre again on the left wing. He could play a 4-4-2 with Borre and Bakambu up top, you know, or he could just bench him, or just bench Santos Borre, have him as a depth option in against medium teams or medium-sized teams or smaller teams.
Yeah, and they've got loads of they're going to have loads of games this year with the Champions League too. So, yeah, it's really interesting to see. I'm just delighted that a lot of Atletico's players are gone out on loan in order to play a lot of them are in La Liga. Now, I don't know if they're going to be allowed to play or if there's clauses which is kind of a cop out in my opinion.
The only clause that I know of is that Kronovitzer will not be allowed to play at the Calderon when Sevilla visit. That's the only clause that I know of.
So they're afraid. They're really afraid of that. Yeah. But yeah, no, it's really exciting. We're going to get to see Theo Hernandez against Alaves. I presume he's going to start left back for them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to get to see Santos Borre. We're going to get to see, obviously, not Kranovitter, but yeah, it's interesting to see these guys and just seeing how they develop throughout the year, and we'll have a good a bird's eye view
of the future here, definitely.
Yeah.
Now, where will Atleti finish in La Liga, the Champions League, and the Copa del Rey, respectively? You think they're going to win the league?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I honestly do think they're going to win the league.
I'm going to say second in the league, but I can see them winning it. In the right circumstances, I can see them winning it, but I'm going to say second to be safe.
Yeah, I can see. Yeah, I can see them winning it. I just think that they have that little bit more depth now, a little bit more, I suppose if we had been doing this podcast last year, I might have been saying the same about Jackson Martinez, yeah. But it feels as though they have enough, they have all the right pieces in place in order to challenge for La Liga. They have the right depth.
Absolutely.
They've got that kind of more attacking approach whereby they will be more ruthless in that respect, and they won't be dropping, hopefully they won't be dropping points against like teams like Depor and when they lost their way at the end of last season, also
losing at Malaga. Losing at Malaga was bad. Losing at Levante was bad.
Hopefully
avoiding results like that.
Exactly. So I just think that they do have that ruthlessness and they've all the pieces in place in order to challenge on that front. In terms of
Champions League.
Yeah, Champions League is a really, really strange. It'll probably take two, three, four games, 4 months of the season before we realise what's actually happening in that. Because right now, I mean, who would you say? Probably Manchester City might. I don't even know if they're... It's such a different competition, so you don't know how they're going to play, what kind of a draw we're going to get. I think you have to be incredibly lucky in order to do well in the Champions League. Atletico were exceptionally good last year, but if those same games were played this year, you're looking at probably maybe being knocked out by Barcelona and likewise with Bayern, unless they get a really easy run or that. I could see us maybe, I don't know, let's say losing in the quarterfinal of that. No, I'll go semi-final.
That's what I'm thinking, quarterfinals.
Okay, you're saying quarter, I'll say semi.
Saying back to a semi?
Yeah, we're back to semi and we'll get knocked out then. And in Copa del Rey, we'll get knocked out... Or I'd say early on again.
Probably quarterfinals again for the third straight year.
Yeah, yeah. We'll probably play Moreira and goals and just kind of a mix, rest some players and things like that, and we'll probably just kind of we'll probably limp out of that competition. But
I'm gonna say semifinals for the Copa.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
I'm gonna say they get to a Copa semifinal.
So we'll have to remember these.
Yep. So you think you think they'll win the league? I think they'll finish second, but I can definitely see them winning the league. And you have them in the semifinal of the Champions League. I have them in the quarterfinal, and you have a Copa del Rey quarterfinal. I have a Copa del Rey semifinal. Will that qualify as a successful season? I'm not sure.
For win any kind of silverware, to be honest with you.
Yeah, if they win La Liga, then it's a successful season. If they don't win any trophy, though,
No.
Can't have a second straight trophyless season would be difficult to take, even if there's more progress made. Because you're looking at this as potentially the best team Atletico have ever had.
Yeah.
They didn't sell any major players this summer. They fortified the team. This is a team that doesn't have any holes in it, really.
But there wasn't even any noise made about losing any of their top players. Griezmann never leaving. It would almost like any time they were even mentioned, there was a little bit of talk about Chelsea early on, and in even before the window opened in March, April, May, and it was almost sniggered at. It was like, nope, that's not happening. Likewise, Saul and Manchester United, it was. They shut that down immediately, and then, two of their best players, Koke, it's actually kind of worrying in a way that Koke hasn't been mentioned to anyone, but another player who they're holding on to, no fear of him leaving. Yeah, Carrasco wasn't mentioned with anyone. Correa, nope. You know, they've got all the pieces in place. They've got a committed team there that all want to be there. There's no dissent, there's no worries, no problems. And I think there's quite a bit of pressure on Diego Simeone this year, to be honest with you. Like you said, a trophyless season. And we're talking here as though trophies in against La Liga, they're playing against two of the best teams in the world, obviously, in Real Madrid and Barcelona, ruthless. And the trophies aren't that easy to come by. And we're talking about them pretty much having to win one of them in order for it to be a success. That's a lot of pressure on a team that haven't typically been in, well, since maybe 2011, they've started winning trophies, but it's not like we're used to winning trophies historically. And
Atleti won trophies in 2010, 2012, 2013, 2014. But haven't won one since the calendar turned to 2015.
Yeah, so
dope.
I think that pressure is on Simeone, and it's not going to be easy. And yeah, they've got all the pieces in place, but it's gonna be a tough year.
This is gonna be fun because I'm not even sure. You know, I could see Atleti just rampaging on their way to a double or a treble.
Mm.
I can also see them having another trophyless season. I predicted that, but I'm not even sure of my own predictions.
Yeah, I don't know. Listen, I'm making predictions here.
I am not sure how well they're going to do.
And I'm not saying that to cover myself. If it happens, I'll turn around and say, pure luck that I guessed that. I swear.
We're trying our best here. We're trying our best to get it right, but we don't even know.
Exactly, yeah, right.
We're the experts and we don't even know. That just about does it for us today. Thank you so much for listening. I'm falling apart. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Into the Calderon. Like us on Facebook. Follow our personal accounts at JB Barron and at Bob Donadini. And again, thank you for listening, and we will catch you next time, which will be after the Deportivo Alaves game, the La Liga opener. Yeah. It's happening, folks.
We'll try and get Martin or one of the guys on to have a chat to us.
We need to get his wages fixed.
Sorted, yeah. Have you talked to him lately? He's on strike there recently.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he is, yeah.
We'll sort that out.
Striking for more money.
We'll sort that out.
We'll have to sort him out.
Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.
Adios.